Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Same number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We would love to hear from you. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the ways we live out this good news of Jesus Christ is in relationships, as we learn to love one another, be reconciled to one another, just as we've been reconciled to God the Father. And certainly in this world today, we need to see a lot of reconciliation. There's so many divisions out there. There's so much prejudice that is in people's hearts, and they express that to folks that are different than they are. Well, how do we correct that? How does the heart change? And that's the real issue. Well, only as it comes in contact with truth, only as it comes in contact with the grace of God, only as it comes in contact of what God through Jesus has done in reconciling us unto himself. And we see a beautiful picture of this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, where Paul wrote this: "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And that's to all. God shows no partiality or favoritism. He just extends this offer of grace and life to anyone, and whosoever comes is saved and is added to the body of Christ. And it's within this body of Christ that we can see reconciliation being really carried out, being lived out in our relationships one to another. It's a powerful thing, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you're basically getting in touch with what God says about you rather than what man has said about you. We accept labels, we begin to measure ourselves and other people, and really we come back to our deepest core identity here in Paul's words, that we are who we are because of who we are in. We are in Christ. That's where we get our core identity. One of the applications, guys, right now in the world we're living in at this moment here in 2016 is with these very controversial and emotionally charged elections and the politics surrounding them. We need to remember at this time that we aren't merely a set of political views. We are children of God. We don't get our identity from a political party or being a follower of a candidate. I was just reflecting on this the other day, thanking the Lord that it's not my job to defend all the candidates out there. I don't have to feel compelled to defend one candidate or another. My job really is to be a defender of the gospel. As a child of God, my hope is in Jesus, not in politics. And it goes for race, it goes for gender, it goes for political party, and all the other labels that we might have attached to ourselves. We need to see who we are at the core and what we share in common. That's the only way we as Christians will bond together and be the bride of Christ the way we're intended to be.
Well spoken, Andrew. Thanks for those great words.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast today. A couple of callers already online, but still plenty of room for you. Dial quickly, 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, Bob, thanks. We're going to start in Tampa, Florida with our friend Jose. Jose, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, hello, guys. How are you doing?
Doing wonderfully well. What's on your mind today?
All right. Well, I'm just calling because, you know, me and my mom, we have a great relationship. She just told me she's homosexual and now she's getting married. And it's just all coming really fast, you know? And I don't know what to say to her or how to speak to her about it. You know, it's I don't know. It's like, what? Yeah, so any advice on that? You know, I don't want to hit her in the head with the Bible. Look at her. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to help much, hitting her head with the Bible. But we Christians tend to do that quite often, use this Bible as a weapon instead of information that points to the love of Christ. Andrew,
that's what I want to do. That's exactly what I show the love of Christ, but how do I do that in this situation? I still love her. She's still my mom, you know.
Is she a believer?
That I know of, I don't know. I can't say. I mean, I don't know.
So it's not obvious. You know, in other words, she doesn't run around town stating that she's a believer in Christ. It's not something at the forefront of what she shares with other people.
No.
Well, then, you know, at that point, if her spiritual condition is in doubt at this point, then you would want to regard her as a person who really needs to come to know the gospel message and come to know the love of Christ. And so I think you're wise, and the Spirit of God has given you discernment that you don't want to beat her over the head with the Bible, so to speak. I think you just need to be available and love and accept her and realize that, you know, in loving her, you're not loving a lifestyle. In loving her, you're not loving the sin, you're loving her. And there's a big difference there. And I think the expectation, you know, the most expected reaction is that Christians will be harsh and judgmental and ugly toward someone else that they disagree with concerning lifestyle. In this case, you have a mother-son bond with her. And I think that you just want to pray for her. And the big word is be available. Be available to the God of the universe and say, God, if you want to work through me and in me to reach my mom, so be it. I'm willing and I'm available. And you just live in the moment and you put on love and you put on Christ. And if the opportunity comes, then you share with her as the Lord leads you. But, you know, if she's an unbeliever, we don't need her to stop a behavior. That's not the goal. We want her to, first and foremost, believe in Jesus Christ. So let's keep the most important thing as the most important thing, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding the gospel, coming to agree with it, receiving Christ. That is the doorway to real change. And I think you just pray for her, you love her, and the big word there is available. God of the universe who lives in me, I am available to be used by you today in my mom's life, however you might choose. So I hope that's helpful to you, Jose.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a shaky, you know, in childhood it was shaky, and I'm just not used to it. You know, there was never a father figure. Yeah. Now it's gay. My sister lives in the house, and it's like, it's just so much. Yeah, so it's a lot to take on, but
yeah,
I'm just keeping my eyes on the one.
Good. I hear you.
One other passage to point you to, Jose, is, you know, the passage we've been talking about most of this month, and it's 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God has deposited in you a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation, and you can fulfill that ministry in this relationship with your mom. And it's simply this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. So just because she says, I'm this and I'm involved in these activities, God has already dealt with those. God has already done something as far as sins are concerned. And so he's not counting those sins against us. There's that deeper issue of life in Christ Jesus. And you stand on that, as Andrew said, you make yourself available and see what God has in mind in this situation, okay?
All right, well, guys, thank you so much. Love you all, brothers, and you guys have a blessed day.
Hey, thanks, Jose. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines right now. We'd love for you to have one. 844-322-2742.
Guys, there are so many issues out there like that. You know, what do we do? How do we handle it? You know, we know the Bible says things are sins, and oftentimes we want to take our stance there and want to call it for what it is. But we forget that, you know, whatever issue is out there, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's the abortion issue, political, economic, social justice, injustice, those sort of things, you know, we stand as believers, as ministers of reconciliation. We have an opportunity to insert something into those issues that, you know, is absent in the world. And that's this reality that Christ has already dealt with these sins, with these behaviors once and for all, and that we can actually be ministers of reconciliation. And boy, that's the most powerful thing that we can bring to each and every one of these issues.
It is. It is. One of the things that, I had to wrestle with for a long time, still wrestle with it actually, is that it's so easy to forget how God got through to me, which was reconciliation, mercy, and grace. And now that I've received that, who am I to turn around and point somebody else out and say, you sinner? Well, that's not going to win them to Jesus. You can only do it the way Jesus did it in my own heart. It's the same way for all of us. And that's a hard thing to remember.
Yes, it is. It really is.
844-322-2742. We'd love for you to add to the conversation right now. Again, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Valerie listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
We're just doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to ask you, I go to a Pentecostal church. They're not big in a lot of slang and stuff. They're very just down to earth. But the thing is, they believe that, that speaking in tongues is evidence of being baptized in the Spirit, and I don't believe that.
Give
me some info. I mean, I have scriptures, but I just would like to get your intake on it.
Yeah, well, I think the number one place we can go is to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, Paul is speaking and he's talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, literally, he says, not all speak in tongues, do they?
Right.
Are all apostles? Of course not. That's his point. Are all prophets? Right. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? You know, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? So he's asking these questions because there is division and factions in the church of that day. They're arguing and bickering over what spiritual gifts they have and who's more important than the other person. Mm-hmm. And Paul's whole point is, look, these gifts are distributed according to God's purpose and according to God's heart and God's desire for the church. And he doesn't make us all clones. He doesn't make us all robots. We're not all the same. And so to pick out one gift and to say that one gift is the evidence that, you know, we are in the Spirit. Well, first of all of us are in the Spirit. If we're in Christ, we're in the Spirit. He who has the Son has the life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, Paul says.
Right.
So it's all or nothing. We either belong to God and have the Spirit, or we don't belong to God and don't have the Spirit. But there's no middle ground. You can't be a Christian and not be in the Spirit. So when it comes to tongues, it is not a litmus test. You know, that would be like me saying, well, you're not a true Christian unless you work miracles. You're not a true Christian unless you heal people. You're not a true Christian unless you prophesy. I mean, my goodness, then we would all be the same. We would be robots and clones. And the whole point of 1 Corinthians 12 is that there is diversity in the body of Christ and beauty in the body of Christ. And we are supposed to be different because that's how God uses us individually.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, yeah. What makes them think that way? I mean, they must have a reason why they believe.
Sure.
I know I never did, but you know.
Yeah. Well, the reason is quite simple. They go to Acts chapter 2, and they see that some people in Acts 2 became believers. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then they spoke in tongues in order to share the gospel in many human languages with the people who were around them. So, you know, it's like they take one event in human history and they say, well, see, these Christians spoke in tongues. Therefore, every Christian should speak in tongues if they're truly a believer who is in the Spirit. And that's like me, you know, taking any historic event. Do I want to go back to the book of Jonah and then tell everybody that, you know, if you ever disobey the Lord, you're going to be swallowed by a whale. Well, right. It happened once. It's history, right. But I don't turn it into doctrine. I don't turn it into a must-have type of situation. And so really, when we get our doctrine from a single event in the book of Acts, right. That's when we get off base.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I hope that's helpful to you.
Yeah. No, it is. I just wanted confirmation from you, you know, to be sure, because, you know, I don't want to misinterpret anything.
Right. Well, otherwise we just feel, we end up feeling pressure, you know, oh, I've right. got to have this gift or I'm not legitimate.
Yeah, I never had a desire for tongues. I prayed, God, if this is what you want, you know, I prayed whatever gifts he gives me, that's mm-hmm. up to him. It's all in his hands.
Yeah. And gifts, and you know gifts like tongues. I mean, the tongues right. gift is a sign for the unbeliever. It's definitely an evangelistic tool. Yeah. So, you know, God has equipped you the way that he wanted you to be equipped, and you're complete in him. And I think that's the attitude we have to hold and run with. So thanks for your call today, Valerie.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Valerie. And I know a lot of times folks hang on to that. You know, I have to speak in tongues. As evidence, and it really gets to be a point of assurance that's their assurance of salvation. So they're looking for that security that the evidence gives them.
Yes.
And you know, if you can get a person anchored to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the fact that he took away their sins once and for all, the fact that he has come to live inside of them through the Holy Spirit and anchor their assurance on what Christ has accomplished, then that question seems to go away. And it's kind of interesting when you look at it in that light, that what they're really wanting is that assurance of salvation.
Yeah.
Boy, that's one of the biggest questions that we get on the broadcast week in and week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, is how can I know for sure that I'm saved? And that really gets back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and what he's accomplished for us.
Yeah. Well, Andrew and Richard, I've got a quote from Bob Christopher. He says, "There's no more powerful expression of God's love for you than the initiative he took on your behalf in Jesus, who reconciled you by his death and granted you life through his resurrection." That, of course, is the central message of Bob's CD, Reconcile for Life. And friends, with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive a copy of the CD and the study guide, Reconcile for Life. And as Bob was saying, if you need assurance of your salvation or know someone who does, this message, Reconcile for Life, will provide it. And it's yours with your gift this month. Again, to make your gifts, simply click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jersey City, New Jersey, and talk with Marie listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Marie.
Hi, how are you guys? I have a quick question. I'm driving, so I'll just let you guys elaborate. And I just joined the new church, and all they talk about is Lucifer and Satan, and I'm, like, totally confused. They say that Satan is the cause of everything in the world, and I said, well, what about responsibility as human beings, whatever? If you guys could just explain that, because I am totally confused about that subject. I don't even know how to – I grew up Catholic, and I've been listening to you guys, and I've grown so much, but – then I try to go to this church, and I'm confused again. I don't know what to say. All they talk about is Satan and Lucifer, and I'm getting, like, really I don't like going to this church. I'm, like, really, like, nuts. I don't even know what to say. These people are just weird. They just keep, you know, they emphasize that all the time about sin and giving into Satan, and I'm, like, I don't know. They just don't talk about the love of Christ. Can you guys tell me, explain to me, in a practical manner, how Satan fits into all this? I mean, I know he was a fallen angel, but I don't get the rest of it.
Well, I mean, the scripture very clearly says that the evil one cannot touch us if we are in Christ. So, right. Marie, I think some people just, you know, they have a fixation with the enemy and what the enemy's doing. And, you know, there's a devil under every bush, so to speak. And I think you're wise to be concerned, to be hesitant about a focus that is too much on the enemy rather than on your own team. You're on the team with God. Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And so You know, this fixation with the enemy doesn't need to be there. Of course, we're told, you know, be aware that there are fiery darts that come at us. Those fiery darts would be things like temptation and accusation. But, you know, that's all they are. It's all bark and no bite. The enemy can't actually touch us, but he can bark and make loud noises and say, look at your sins and look at your track record and try to get you distracted and tempted and accused. But that's pretty much the limit of the enemy. And so, you know, that's why, you know, 95% or more of the Bible is not about the enemy. It's about God and about your your relationship with him. Yeah. So you're right. You're right to be concerned and be hesitant.
Yeah, I won't be going back there because I just don't understand where they're coming from. And I don't really, like, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and have debates about that. I want to talk about Christ and what he does, you know, and help other people come to Christ and tell them about what he's done in my life and my family's life. I don't want to get into stuff like that. It's just, I don't know why there's so much emphasis on that. But anyway,
well, good for
thank you for clarifying that for me.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for your call. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. God bless.
What you guys, what a great call. I mean, you know, it's a reminder that really we need to keep the focus where the focus needs to be, where the focus is due, and that is on the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we're going to know what's going on out in the world, we have to be anchored in truth. We have to be anchored in this love relationship that we have with Christ Jesus, and that is going to give us the eyes to see, the discernment to know what's happening at any given time. If we spend all of our efforts trying to figure out the enemy, we're going to lose sight of truth, and we're just going to be sucked into his deceptive scheme. So spend your time on Jesus. Spend your time on knowing the truth, learning what it means to walk in the truth, what it means to grow in grace, what it means to grow in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. And you will have the discernment to know what's going on, just like Marie evidenced right there. Boy, what an encouragement to hear her voice and the truth coming out of her heart. That was just fantastic. It was. Yeah. Well, let's go to Newark and talk to Ken listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ken.
Hi, gentlemen. My story is like, I wanted to know what happened to Joseph. It occurred to me lately that the Bible spoke about Joseph after when Jesus was about 12 years old, and he was in the temple, and they had to come back to get him. I think that was the last time we heard about him. But since then again, we never read about Joseph in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even mention that if he died or anything.
I mean, to my knowledge, guys, I don't think there is much said about him after the episode in the temple where Jesus is found in the temple. I think that that may be the last mention of him, and that's because he certainly played a role, but he is not to be elevated in the way that some people have wrongly elevated Mary. We don't want to elevate Mary. We don't want to elevate Joseph. We want to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, elevated, that is, ascended to the right hand of God. And he's our focus. So Joseph played a role, limited as it was, and he walked a life of faith. Give him credit for that. But he was and is a man, and only a man. And so we keep the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting when they found Jesus in the temple, he said, I'm about my Father's business.
Yes.
And I think that is telling right there that he was going to walk in dependence upon his real Father, his heavenly Father, and he was going to say what his Father told him to say. He was going to do what his Father told him to do. And I think right then and there we get the sense that he's no ordinary being, and he was sent from heaven down to us to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So, Ken, great question. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. And friends, this Friday, of course, will be April 1st, and we will embark on a brand new study, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We hope if you don't have your copy of it yet that you will go online to basicgospel.net/teaching and order yours today so that you can follow along with us each Friday as we study through its pages. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. So for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.